Welcome to the AM Jackson Podcast with your host, Mark Daly. News, sports, and conversations that are important to Jackson County. This is the AM Jackson Podcast.
Local Jackson news now from the WKHM.com News Center.
Good morning. 5 minutes after the top of the hour. Reporting with WKHM News, I'm Mark Daly. Jackson Mayor Daniel Mahoney says the city is at what he calls a reckoning during his State of the City address Wednesday night at the Jackson City Center.
Jackson has rediscovered its identity. We've gone through a reformation, reforming the way government thinks and works. And tonight, I stand firmly before you with confidence and report that the city of Jackson, the state of the city of Jackson, has reached a record.
Mahoney told the crowd the moment requires proof that progress is happening across the city. He pointed to what he called the largest housing expansion in decades in the 100 Homes Project, reconstruction of MLK Drive, improvements in the MLK Corridor, supporting neighborhood businesses, and improving equity. Mayor says public safety trends are improving with crime down 14%, while neighborhood initiatives like the Fix 36 program and a street assessment assistance program continue. He also highlighted redevelopment efforts, including the sale of the historic Hayes Hotel, where commercial construction is now beginning, and the opening of the city center and its community kitchen. Mahoney says youth violence remains unfinished business, noting statistics don't comfort families who have lost loved ones and urging the community to focus on what comes next for Jackson. At times, the mayor's address took the tone of a farewell speech. He directly addressed his daughters several times.
Girls, I have had my fun. It is time for me to spend all of my time poured into your successes, being there for when you get first place in gymnastics and at soccer and all the sports and all the things that you guys are doing, help see you off to college, all the things that you guys dream and aspire to do. I'm ecstatic about being able to spend my time, more time, being present for you.
Mayor Mahoney handed out several keys to the city at his final State of the City address last night. Monica Mosier from the Jackson Community Foundation received one.
Jackson is special, not because of any one person or any one organization, but because of the collective heart of the people who live here. It takes all of us, neighbors, nonprofits like Jackson Michigan Giving Back, businesses, schools, volunteers, and everyday citizens to build a kind of community where everyone can belong, contribute, and thrive. And the truth is, the real work happens very quietly.
Steve Tucker, former director of the Michigan Theater, also received a key. He took the time to thank all those who made the Michigan Theater restoration possible.
Common attributes that I found runs rampant throughout the city. They love Jackson, they love each other, and they work for a future that makes Jackson better for all. In 2023, the theater embarked on a capital campaign designed to restore the theater to its original grandeur. Under the leadership of campaign chair Philip Curtis, we met our financial goals and embarked on the massive project. We finished that project under budget and in time. Pretty amazing. To all the local foundations, large and small businesses, to the thousands of individuals that gave their time and treasure, I thank you and know that you and only you could have made it happen.
Other key recipients last night included Bart and Karen Hawley of JTV, Brenda Hughes of Jackson Giving Back, Maribeth Leonard from Lifeways, Chrissy Siders from True Community Credit Union, Michael Thompson from Segway, and Edward Woods from Lifeways of the Board of Directors. Many people in Jackson last night had two events to choose from. Attend either the State of the City address or the Best of Jackson Awards from Jackson Magazine. We chose both. The Best of Jackson was celebrated Wednesday night as Jackson Magazine hosted its annual awards at the Commonwealth Commerce Center. Readers cast votes in several categories to recognize their local favorites. Among this year's winners, Smarch Chiropractic and Health Center was named Best Chiropractor. Dr. John Smarch said they're very proud to be there.
We've been in Jackson for a really long time, and we really appreciate all the patients, all of our staff for doing all the hard work. My family, everybody is, my wife, all the support that she gives me. It just really feels, we feel very proud to be here and the Best of Jackson. A lot of the chiropractors in town, and we made it to the top three. So we really feel proud for that.
True Community Credit Union earned Best Credit Union honors. Sarah Ermentanger from True expressed that it also was an honor.
It's really an honor. It's really cool just to be a part of this community. Every person and every business in this room that is represented here today makes Jackson what it is. A very special place to live, work, and play every single day. So all the work, all the passion that they put into this in their work shows up. And so just makes Jackson a wonderful place, and I think everyone here is a winner tonight.
Other Best of winners include Michigan Works Southeast was voted Best Employment Agency. Early Impressions Preschool and Child Care Center took top spot for Best Preschool. Knight's Steakhouse and Grill was chosen as the home of the best steak. And Classy Canine Styles named Best Groomer. You can find the full list of winners in this month's issue of Jackson Magazine available online and at local businesses throughout Jackson County. Just after 6:45 Tuesday morning, two deputies with the Jackson County Office of the Sheriff stopped a vehicle at Michigan and Main Street where a subject was cited for a civil infraction. For the next several hours, the sheriff's office says he drove around calling 911 and referenced to other people speeding and at one point attempted to make a citizen's arrest in the area of Brown and Morrell Street. JSO officials say that additional charges may be sought against the subject. Routine gas jumps have been made worse with the conflict in Iran.
That's part of the reason, as explained by Gas Buddy analyst Patrick DeHaan.
The biggest piece of the situation is really the de facto closure of the Strait of Hormuz via threats that Iran has made to attack tankers that transit the strait. That's a problem because 20 to 25% of the world's daily oil supply needs to go through the strait, and that is why oil prices have reacted.
Another factor, refineries are starting to prepare for the summer blend maintenance, which is also ramping up the annual climb in prices, usually peaking near Memorial Day in late May. Ryan Recker for the Michigan News Network.
As the U.S. is in its first week of war with Iran, there's been volatility in the stock market. Financial instructor for the Retirement Education Foundation team, Michael Masserand, says concern is a strong word at this point.
Of course, there's some unrest in the Middle East currently and some conflict there. But currently, the overall stock market is only down 2 or 3% as of today's conversation. And so it's not like we're seeing 10, 20, 30% drops in the stock market.
Masserand says it could unfold to a more serious event, so it's a test run. He says it might be a good idea to pull some risk back. If you're retired, he says you may want to pull risk back that's not tied to the stock market until this blows over. Michigan U.S. Senator Gary Peters voiced concern during a Senate Armed Services Committee hearing about whether the military action will ultimately backfire and make America less safe. He also spoke out about the importance of diplomacy.
Now, I want to be clear. Iran is a bad actor. And we must ensure that they never, ever produce nuclear weapons. But I also want to be clear, we should remember that we had a diplomatic agreement with Iran on nuclear proliferation, and President Trump withdrew from that agreement during his first term without a plan. But now he's sending U.S. forces back to the Middle East to fight in a war.
Meantime, Secretary of State Marco Rubio announced Iran was producing approximately 100 missiles per month. He said it's now using those missiles to indiscriminately attack targets across the Middle East with no involvement in the conflict. Rubio called the U.S.-Israel military action important for the safety and security of the world. Grassroots leaders and elected officials representing thousands of impacted constituents from across Metro Detroit held an emergency No Ice, No War event Wednesday. The protesters gathered outside the McNamara Federal Building in Detroit. State Representative Alabas Farhat.
We don't have the money to make sure that when someone goes into the hospital, they're not worried about that bill they're going to get when they walk out. But we have the money to fight Israel's wars, and we have the people to send to die for Israel. But we don't have the people here that are willing to invest in this country, that are willing to support this country, and that are willing to make sure that America can be that vision we all know it can be.
A congressional war powers vote will be held in Washington today. Jackson Area Hockey Association will be hosting their Try Hockey Free event for kids at Optimist Ice Arena. That's happening Saturday afternoon. David Davis with Jaha talked about one of the obstacles of getting kids involved with hockey. Equipment can be costly.
It can be. Thankfully, there are opportunities to get gear from places like Play It Again, some places online. And then we also have a partnership with a company that you can actually rent gear from. It makes it a lot more affordable. You can buy gear from them that makes it a lot more affordable. So it really helps. But for like the Try Hockey event, we have all the gear already there. Yeah. Everybody can just come on out. If you don't have skates, that's fine. The rink has skates that you can get. And then we have everything else that they would possibly need to at least give it a shot and try it out.
David said that he's encouraged by the growth of the sport and the Jackson community in recent years.
I know growing up, like for me, it wasn't a big thing in the community, but now we have kids from all of the schools come in. It's greatly represented in our community. We're actually getting known around the state as the place for hockey. It's really great to see how much community support we've had just to help build that. It is this weekend at Optimist at 1:30 from 2:30. We always tell people try to show up about a half hour before, because if you're not familiar with putting on the gear, it does take a few minutes to get through it and figure out how to put everything on.
For parents who are interested in letting their kid attend the event, Jaha will have volunteers available to help with putting on gear, skating, and more.
Again, the amazing volunteers we have within the hockey community, too. We have two different teams that are going to be coming to help parents sort through, figure out what they need, get their kiddos dressed, and then we'll have existing Jaha players as well as coaches on the ice playing with the kids, working with the kids, kind of giving them a feel of what it's like to actually be on the ice and really to see the culture that we've built in Jackson.
More information about the Jackson Area Hockey Association can be found at jahahockey.com. Two head coaches with Jackson Public Schools have been named as SEC White Division Coach of the Year. Head boys basketball coach Philip Thompson earned SEC White Basketball Coach of the Year, and head swim coach Joe Zessen earned SEC White Swim Coach of the Year. In his first year coaching at JPS, Coach Thompson led the J-High boys basketball program to a season that saw them earn both the SEC White Division Conference Championship and the District 12 Championship. His message to student-athletes has been consistent. Use the lessons of competition to prepare for life after graduation, whether students go pro or go corporate, and wherever their paths lead. JPS says that Coach Joe Zessen being awarded recognizes his leadership, dedication, and commitment to building a program grounded in excellence, teamwork, and sportsmanship. JPS congratulated Coach Thompson and Coach Zessen, thanking them for the energy, mentorship, and high standard they bring to their schools and community. A retired Detroit police sergeant says there are serious safety concerns with proposed legislation that would remove existing concealed pistol permit requirements. A package of bills would make Michigan the 30th state to adopt constitutional carry laws, which would remove the need to get a CPL. David Mahalab says this could have far-reaching consequences.
I think it's a simple pandering to people who don't realize the dangers of having a handgun in the home, in their possession, and without proper training. It is even more dangerous than an automobile and a dangerous weapon to your family and to the public.
Mahalab says this would have far-reaching consequences. He adds that there should be more training for the licensee. Governor Gretchen Whitmer became an honorary school lunch lady Wednesday while pushing her free school nutrition program.
The governor was at Baker Middle School in Troy, serving waffles, whipped cream, and strawberries to the students and pushing her effort to provide free meals for all Michigan K-12 students. Research consistently shows students who eat breakfast perform better academically, have fewer discipline issues, and attend school more regularly. And because this meal deal is universal, no student is singled out for receiving providing assistance. No stigma. Here's a governor.
You know, it's a meaningful investment, but when you look at the bigger picture, it's a small investment that pays off big dividends.
Still, critics say the state must balance compassion with fiscal discipline. The legislature will now decide whether taxpayer-funded school meals remain temporary or become a part of Michigan law. Tim Pamplin for the Michigan News Network.
Border Patrol agents made another drug bust at the Blue Water Bridge.
A month ago, a truck from the United States was stopped on the Canadian side of the bridge with 600 pounds of drugs. Now we're learning that 2 weeks ago, another major drug bust prevented roughly 245 pounds of suspected cocaine from entering Canada through Port Huron. The Canada Border Services Agency announcing two men were arrested by the Royal Canadian Mounted Police. Both were from Canada and charged with importation of cocaine and possession of cocaine for the purpose of trafficking. Ryan Recker for the Michigan News Network.
Could armadillos be trading in desert sands for the Great Lakes? Over the last few years, several of the armored mammals have been picked up as roadkill off roads along Michigan's southern border. The DNR says it's unclear how they got here, but the leading theories are someone leaving them out as a prank or them making their way north due to our milder winters. Natural Resources Commission Chair Becky Humphreys says the animals aren't protected in the state.
So the department asks, when we deal with unprotected species, we want people to be able to take armadillos, if they wind up occurring in southern Michigan, not to feel that they're protected. They can be quite destructive on your yard.
She adds that in other states, they refer to them as living rototillers.
It's Thursday, and it is the fifth day of March, and today we celebrate National Potty Dance Day. As we approach the top of the hour a couple times each day, we've got a little bit of a potty dance going on. Not saying, just saying. It's National Cheese Doodle Day. It's National Absinthe Day. You know what? When you go down to Bellinote, just ask. Ask Jeff Veach for it. I'm not sure what kind of look you're going to get, but at least ask for it and see what happens with Jeff Veach at Bellinote. This could be an option for St. Patrick's Day. Just throwing it out there. It's also Real Film Day. It was on this date in 1770, the Boston Massacre took place. It was on this date in 1953, Soviet dictator Joseph Stalin died at the age of 73 after 29 years in power. It was on this date in 1960, Elvis Presley was honorably discharged from the army. On this date, 1982, John Belushi was found dead at the age of 33 of a drug overdose at a hotel in Hollywood. It was on this date in 2000, the first cloned pigs were produced in Virginia. Was on this date in 2002, MTV began airing the reality television show, The Osbournes.
Someone has been in my room and taken my beers away from my room.
I don't think so, darling. Who would do that? Who could possibly do that? Who's the beer thief? You. You're the beer thief.
Oh, man. So many classic moments from that one. It was on this date in 2013, Quentin Tarantino's Django Unchained and Seth MacFarlane's Ted both received MTV Movie Award nominations. On this date in 2014, game show host Jeff Edwards died of pneumonia at the age of 83. On this date in 2015, Harrison Ford was seriously injured when he made an emergency landing on a golf course adjacent to California's Santa Monica Municipal Airport. On this date in 2019, Kylie Jenner was named the world's youngest ever billionaire at the age of 21. It was on this date in 2020, U.S. Senator Elizabeth Warren dropped out of the Democratic presidential race. Birthdays today include Sterling Knight, 32, actor, Sonny with a Chance, Starbucks, Jake Lloyd from Star Wars Episode One: The Phantom Menace, 37 today. Jolene Blaylock, actress from Enterprise, is 51 today. Nikki Taylor, 51, model. Matt Lucas, 52, actor. Doctor Who, Wonka, The Great British Bake Off, Eva Mendez from Ghost Rider and Hitch, 52 today. Kevin Connolly, director, Entourage, 52 today. Paul Blackthorne from the Dresden Files and also Arrows, 57 today. Penn Jillette, one half of Penn and Teller, 71 today. Marsha Warfield is 72, actress, comedian, Night Court, Empty Nest. Michael Warren is 80, actor from Hill Street Blues. Fred Williamson, 88, actor from Dusk Till Dawn and Julia. You also have Dean Stockwell. Remember him from Quantum Leap, also Battlestar Galactica. He passed away in 2001. Would have had a birthday today. James Noble from Benson. He passed away in 2016. He would have had a birthday today. Other birthdays today include Madison Beer, singer, 27 today. Charlie Reed is 64, singer, The Proclaimers. He's going to be 500 miles. Craig Reed is 64, singer from The Proclaimers. Alan Clark, 74, keyboardist from Dire Straits. Eddie Grant, he went down Electric Avenue. He's 78 today. Murray Head, 80, singer, Jesus Christ Superstar. One Night in Bangkok. And we're going to go with Andy Gibb today, who passed away in 1988. He would have had a birthday. Now, Andy Gibb was not a Bee Gee. That was Barry, Maurice, and Robin. They were the Bee Gees. Andy Gibb was he was a solo Gibb. He was all by himself. It's only you and I. There ain't nothing come between us in the end. I guess he did get a little help from his brothers on this one. For more local stories, breaking news, and interviews with Jackson's newsmakers, visit us online at WKHM.com. I'm Mark Daly. I'm Mark Daly, and you're listening to the AM Jackson Podcast. We're on to high school sports courtesy of Kettlebell Hotspot on Newstalk 970 AM 101.5 FM. Kettlebell Hotspot. If you're listening to this right now, it's possible the Monday, Wednesday, Friday classes at 6 and 8 or 8 could fit into your schedule. We also have that Monday, Wednesday, 4:30 afternoon class. Saturday is that Saturday morning circuit, 9 a.m. It's where your functional fitness begins, improving your strength, balance, and mobility. Wherever you are in your physical fitness journey, they have a spot for you. Kettlebell Hotspot. They are located at 7851 Spring Arbor Road. Find them on Facebook. Find them online, kettlebellhotspot.com. Girls basketball semifinals districts last night. We're going to Division One, District 12. This one was at Okemos, where last night it was Holt beating Mason 53-42. And the host school, Okemos, taking down the Mounties of Northwest 46-25. Holt and Okemos in the final on Friday, that contest at 7 o'clock. Now we go to Division Two. This is District 51, and last night it was Western taking down taking down the host school, Battle Creek, Harper Creek. Final tally there, 66-24 last night. So Western advances, and they are going to be facing Michigan Center, who took care of Marshall last night, 64-44 for that final. So we have an all-local district final at Harper Creek on Friday, 7 o'clock for the tip time, Western versus Michigan Center. And the Michigan Center girls beat Marshall 64-44. McKinley Gaddy led the Cardinals 25 points, 8 boards. Maurice View, 16 points and had 4 assists. Carson Smith, 8 points, and Kara Straub added 7 points and 9 boards for Michigan Center. Currently 20-3 on the season. They're in that district final again on Friday. Thank you, Coach View, for supplying us the information all season long. Makes our life a lot easier, and we do appreciate it. Thank you so much. All right, so that's Division Two. Let's pivot over to Division Three. Doubleheader you heard last night at 95.9. The Power Cow saw Lumen getting the win over Springport, 61-21 for that final there. So Lumen advances, and you know what? We've got some highlights for you. Let's share some of those for you right now. Lucy Wozak put up a three-pointer early on as the Titans saw themselves in a 7-0 run.
From Lafier, top of the key, drives to the lane, hesitates, kicks back outside. Wozak lines up the three, makes the three. Quick 7-0 lead for the Lady Titans. 1 minute into this first quarter.
And shortly after, Springport finally got themselves on the board after Morgan Shoemaker gets it in the bucket and gets an and one.
Springport swings it to the near side for Shoemaker near half court, guarded by Boyce. Dribbles to the right wing, stopped on the baseline, spin move through the lane, shot up, in, and a foul. Strong finish in traffic gets Springport their first bucket tonight.
Didn't take long to realize that Lumen was going to be running away with this one. Kenna Hunt gets to 15 points, 33-3. This is in the second quarter.
We got a steal on the ball by Tristan Johnson. Pass over to Hunt. Spin move through the lane. Off the glass. She scores again. Kenna Hunt up to 15 points to lead all scorers. And Lumen Christie, they've multiplied Springport's score by 11, 33-3.
In the third, they're going to get up by 31 points after this Lily Ganton three.
Wozak has it at the top of the key, trying to lob it at the free throw line. Instead, gets it on the far side for Ganton. Fires the three, makes the three. Opens up the scoring here in the second half as Lumen Christie leads by 31 points.
And, well, they would end with a 40-point lead. Here's the final call.
Seifer misses at the buzzer, and that will do it for our first of two games this evening as the Lumen Christie Titans moving on with a strong performance on both ends. 61-21 is the final, and they end Springport's girls basketball season.
That's Connor Dockery on the call. Game one from Napoleon last night. They had a doubleheader. Game number two, and on the call, he was calling this at times an instant classic, and it did live, even though Grass Lake pulled away a little bit towards the end. It was tied up at 30 apiece at one point. Reese Lape had a dominating performance last night, putting up a total of 35 points for Grass Lake. Let's get you the highlights here. Hanover Horton started off strong, putting themselves on a 10-2 run to start the contest.
Lobs it in for Molly Soper at the top of the key. Screen coming on the left, doesn't pass. Now on the near side, wide open three. Up and in for Allie Strabe. 10-2, Hanover Horton over Grass Lake. 1 minute left in this first quarter.
Second quarter, Grass Lake would surge back. Reese Lape getting a steal and a score.
Has it stolen away at the free throw line. Reese Lape all alone on the fast break, and she lays it up and in on the other end. She's really putting Grass Lake on her shoulders here. She has all 7 points as Grass Lake now trails 10-7.
Third quarter, Maggie Soper drains a three. She got a little cold in the third, but warmed things up again, and she cut the deficit to one here in the third quarter. That's Maggie Soper from Hanover Horton.
On the near side for Totef, back into the corner. Maggie Soper, three, yes! That opens the second half scoring for Hanover Horton, trailing by one, 2 minutes into the third.
In the fourth quarter, it was Maya Vieglin got a basket and puts the Warriors up.
They've gotten several good looks in this run for Grass Lake, but they're not falling as we got a bad pass. Lape with the steal outside for Vigalon, who scores on the fast break. Now a 11-0 scoring run for the Lady Warriors, continuing to grow their lead out to double digits.
Final call in the game as Grass Lake wins 58-47.
Beacon of Reslate on the missed free throw. She got the rebound. That'll do it. 58-47 is the final as Grass Lake will move on and officially will be taking on the Lumen Christi Titans in the district championship coming up on Friday.
That is going to be a fabulous game. Two high-powered local teams in Division III at Napoleon. Lumen versus Grass Lake. Lumen comes into this 19-3. They've only lost to one Michigan team, and it was a top-rated team. They lost to two teams out of Ohio, also top-rated in the state. So Lumen Christi is firing on all cylinders. And Grass Lake with that 21-2 record and just height and talent up and down their roster. That's going to be a fabulous game on Friday. Let's move on to girls basketball, Division III, District 83. This one's at Onstead High School, where Blissfield took down the Red Wolves 40-26. So Blissfield advances to the district final, and they're going to face the Golden Eagles of Columbia, who just destroyed Onstead 56-16 for that final. And it was the Lady Eagles, again, traveling to Onstead for that semifinal district matchup against Onstead. Despite a slow start offensively, the girls locked down on defense, allowing only 9 points going into the half. The stellar defense continued in the second half, and then the offense got rolling. Girls won the game 56-16, setting up a district championship between Blissfield. Gabby Gaydosh led the way, 20 points. Molly Sear chipped in 8. Cecilia Slatt had 6. Amaya Lamka and Coley Brown each having 5 apiece for the Lady Golden Eagles. So Blissfield, Columbia at Onstead on Friday, 7 o'clock for the tip time there in that district championship. Let's go over to Division 4. District 119 at Athens. Concord gets the 56-14 win over Tekontcha. Everybody on the planet and then some saw that one coming. Tekontcha not able to log a win at all in the season. So Concord gets the win. They advance, and they're going to face host school Athens on Friday as Athens defeated Litchfield 62-41. Division 4, District 121 at Jackson Christian saw Morenci defeating Addison 70-18 and Pittsford taking care of the Royals 42-34 last night. This is girls basketball Division 4, District 122 at Summerfield, where Lunaway Christian beat BD 65-14 and Petersburg Summerfield took care of Manchester 58-42. Boys basketball, these games happening tonight. Springport, well, we saw what Flint Elite could do. They took care of Lumen in that regional first-round action. Springport going to have their hands full with Flint Elite coming up tonight, 7 o'clock, live from New Lothrop. That's going to be on 95.9, the Power Cow. Springport, 20-5. Flint Elite is 19-4. That should be a really good matchup. Now, the other region that we're keeping an eye on is Onstead versus E-Course, because the winner of that contest will face the winner of the Springport game in the state quarterfinal. So we'll be keeping an eye on that one, too. Let's stick with boys basketball. This is Division 4, Region 29, where tonight you've got Colon versus Battle Creek St. Philip. This is at Marcellus High School Gymnasium in Singleton, okay? So the winner there is going to advance to the state quarterfinal, where they're going to face the winner of Concord versus Petersburg Summerfield. So Concord, 24-1. Petersburg Summerfield, 18-7. That contest, 7 o'clock tonight. You'll be able to catch that one here on News Talk 970 AM, 101.5 FM, 95.9 The Power Cow. Going to bring you the Springport contest tonight. So we've got you covered.
because it's what we do. We've got you covered with high school basketball. Big Ten action tonight. We'll have the Wolverines taking on the Iowa Hawkeyes. That's going to be 8 o'clock. We'll get that one to you in progress on Fox Sports 101.9 FM. Rutgers will face the Spartans. MSU, 18.5 point favorites in that one. And the Wings lost in overtime last night, 4-3 for that final to the Las Vegas Knights. Sports brought to you by Kelly.
You're listening to the AM Jackson Podcast with your host, Mark Daly.
Back to AM Jackson, live from the County National Bank Studio.
At 8:32, yes, this is the County National Bank Studio in our McKibben Media Group World Headquarters in Summit Township. And we welcome back to the program Jenny Cronkite from Jackson Magazine. Good morning.
Hey, good morning. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing really good. Little bit going on both ends, going like, you know, burning the candle wick on both sides.
Well, yeah, you guys had a night last night.
We did.
You
know? It was amazing.
Yeah, so that was fun. I love the best of Jackson because it's just... You know me, I'm kind of a good, positive, vibey kind of person, right? And that's what, everybody's there in a good mood. And
absolutely.
It's, yeah, it was a lot of fun last night.
I love the Best of Jackson. It's like the one event a year where the team lets me MC the event. And it's kind of nice that they actually give me the microphone. So
I remember that because I asked you a while back, hey, do you guys need an MC? Are you happy to have me? And you're like, no, we got this one covered.
You're like, no, we're good. Thank you. You can have it. I want it. It's mine.
So that was good. It was a great event last night. Yeah, got to see a lot of people. It's a good networking event,
absolutely,
too. So, yeah, it was fun.
Yeah, I think we started the day with having 200 people on our RSVP list, and then I think 196 of them showed up.
Oh, that's good.
Say. Like, it was pretty good. Yeah, I think we had one group. I mean, that kind of happens, you know, but...
Yeah.
There's one group, maybe a couple others. So maybe I'm overshooting it by a couple. But yeah, no, it was great.
Yeah.
It was absolutely wonderful event.
All right.
We had some fabulous food. If you've never had wonderful food, you should come to Best of Jackson. So this year we partnered with the Movable Feast and they had wonderful. Yeah, they had both. You didn't eat when you were there? Are you why I had a doggy bag come home with me?
That's you are the reason. I intended to. Because I went over before I left.
Yeah.
To come cover the event. We went over to because you know, the rest of the family had to. You're aware.
Yep.
Rest of the family had to eat.
Sure.
So I went over to Jerome Country Market, picked up a couple steaks, and I got some chicken quarters for me because I like chicken.
Uh-huh.
So I had just one quarter on my way in. I'm like, I'll just have a salad once I get there. But I got because you saw.
Yeah.
I was so busy. I was talking with people doing this, getting ready for the news today, and
By
the time I was done talking with people, it's time to go to the next thing. So
I ate exactly 5 bites. I believe every single one of them got interrupted with new people walking in because I forgot, like, I'm actually really supposed to eat first.
Yep.
And I didn't do that. And then I just gave up and threw out my plate. So I felt like one of those, like, horrible people. I just can't.
But at your event.
And I was like, why did you even think that was a good idea? But, oh, my gosh, it was so good. And I love the way that they help us put both vegetarian and then meat dishes together. So I think it's
we had Movable Feast in here before our immersive bridal experience.
Oh,
and I enjoyed that conversation. I wish I didn't realize it was them last night, or else I probably would have made more of an effort to try them.
So, oh, yep. We actually had some people who reached out to us before the event and were like, hey, who's the caterer? And then we told them, they're like, okay, great, we'll be there.
Yeah.
I'm just saying. I'm like,
hey, that's
okay,
how
thank
people
you.
Make their decisions.
That's,
sometimes,
that was it.
You know?
Like, am I showing up on time or casually late?
They lead with their belly.
That's
right?
How it works. Yeah. Okay. So we're really thankful. We work in partnership with them. We also work in partnership with I've Been Framed. So if you've been to one of our events before, I know you have, but on the listener side, one of the things that we try to do is we always give out awards to the awards winner. So if you think of sort of the big image that you might see in the actual magazine, like we kind of mock that up in a pretty little award. It goes in a beautiful frame by I've Been Framed.
Right.
And so then that's handed out to each one of the award winners. And we were really excited. We were able to have 2 different legislative tributes, both red and blue, for every one of our award winners last night.
Nice.
So everybody got
that's cool.
A whole bunch of like wall, I don't even know what you call that. It's kind of like wall credentials.
Yeah.
Like, they're outfitted.
Oh, nice.
They are totally outfitted. Yeah.
Yeah.
So it was really, really, really very awesome. So event photos. So the live stream was obviously live, and so that's on Facebook. We're gonna get that put up on our website and get like the group photo and things. We're gonna get those kind of pushed out later on today to folks.
All right. That's cool. All right. So you had how many categories last night?
There were 6 categories for Best of Jackson.
Yes.
Yes. And
which one would you like to start with?
Hmm. I don't know. Which one's your favorite? You lead.
Well, I was at one of your winners the day, yesterday before we came out.
Oh, you did tell me that. You did tell me that. Okay, so let's start with chiropractic.
Let's start with the cover. Yeah.
Yes. Okay, so we'll start with our cover. So the best chiropractors, like finalists, were Brent Family Chiropractic, Grizz Chiropractic Sports and Wellness, and then Smarch Chiropractic and Health Center. And
the winner is?
Yes. Yeah. So John and Patrick. So the Smarch Chiropractic team, they are the ones that are the finalists. And one of the things that we really were trying to stress this year is that this is the Olympic podium. All we're doing is awarding gold. Like, if you think about it that way, like, if you are in the finalists, you've done all of the qualifying, the pre-qualifying, you've made it to nationals, you've made it onto the team, and now suddenly, like, you're in the competition. So all we're doing right now is, like, it's that last kind of little bit of anxiety that you have when you're trying to figure out, where am I going to be? Because I know I'm getting something. Am I getting gold, or what am I getting? So, like, that's, like, the tension that we have, and it's this beautiful kind of emotion that fills the room. So Smarch was the one that was the best chiropractor.
Yeah.
And one of the stories that we talk about in the magazine is how that they had a patient who came to them after a horrible motorcycle accident. She wasn't very mobile after that, as you might expect. And because she was so diligent with her care, now she's able to be fully mobile, she's able to ride horses, and she's able to, like, restore this huge quality of life that she didn't have post immediately post the accident. So there's a lot of these, like, wonderful success stories
awesome.
that are there, and I'm sure there's a ton of chiropractors that share that as well. I think it's just that those resonated so well with the readership that they've obviously voted for them to be the best chiropractor.
Yeah, I mean, that industry was well represented.
Oh, my goodness, yes.
Well, they all were. All the categories were.
Yes, they absolutely were. And one of the things that we talked about kind of at length last night in between things was always about, like, how to connect with the magazine and how to make sure, like, you get a story into the right into the right people, so that the right people are looking at it to understand that, hey, this might make sense. Mm-hmm. And so you should watch the live stream. So we kind of go through some tips for people on how to get featured well.
Cool. Awesome.
Yeah. So what category would you like to go to next?
Well, let's just keep rolling.
Okay.
Let's go to
alphabetical order.
Is that alphabet? Is
I don't know. You pick.
I was just turning the pages.
Jackson
Magazine.
That's
so
true.
I just went ahead to the next one, which is credit unions.
Yes. So the finalists were American One Credit Union, Community Choice Credit Union, and then also True Community Credit Union. And True Community Credit Union, they were the finalists.
Yeah.
Who like came through in the top three, and so they were the winner of this year's category. And I know a lot of credit unions do a lot of beautiful work.
Right.
But I have a tender kind of like personal spot for them, because, like, I first learned of True way back when they were like CP.
Yeah.
And I was a day camp counselor at the YMCA. And I swear they were like the first time that anybody me as an adult had taught me about financial literacy. Like, it had been completely missed, but I was like this teenager, you know, day camp lifeguard kind of thing. And I was like, oh my gosh, that makes total sense. And, like, I feel like it kind of like switched like maturity level on kind of thing in my world. And I love that about that. And I think there's a lot of stories about those types of programs that True has, and a lot of people that kind of rally around that sort of thing. And I mean, I won't tell you where my personal accounts are, but they are there.
Right. I can't. This category had to have been, I don't know. I'm just assuming that it was probably a really tough vote. Because you look at this, you look at these three community, and not saying that other ones don't, but these three community credit unions are so ingrained in Jackson County. It's got to be so hard to make that decision. You see what Bridget and her staff does at community. American One, they've got their name on practically every building in Jackson County. And True, I mean, those people are just out and about everywhere. You know, so are American One people.
Absolutely. I don't disagree with you. And that is why I feel like if you think about, like, this is the podium of the Olympics, right? Like, these are the best of the best just because they're one of the finalists. And one of the things that we always go back to is that our team did not make these decisions.
Yeah.
What the process looks like is that in August, we sit down and we brainstorm categories, same time of year that we come up with our editorial calendar. And we say, what are the six categories that make sense for us to look at this year? And then we do a bunch of research and make sure that there are at least 6 local businesses in those categories. And then assuming there are, those categories move forward. And then there's this process where we don't vote from there. Mm-hmm. And it's simply it is a popularity contest. Mm-hmm. I mean, it is a Reader's Choice Award. And you get 1 vote per round. And there you are.
Right.
So it literally is, how well do you mobilize a team of people to then mobilize all the people that they know?
Right.
Because 6 people removed, you get everybody in the world or something. Isn't that what it is?
Is that 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon?
Yeah, something like that. I don't know. Something like that. So the idea, I mean, so it's such a wonderful concept with that. So like I take a lot of, I don't want to say solace, that's not the right word, but like I'm very thankful that I don't have to be credited with choosing anything, because I no choice.
You've got people for that.
Yes, there are people, and those people are the readers.
Right.
So thank you, and listeners.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Employment agency.
Oh yes.
So let me just say the winner here,
because
Michigan Works Southeast.
Uh-huh.
All these employment agencies that we talked about, they're all great people.
Yeah.
But that's a huge organization.
It is.
I mean, they got numbers there.
Yes, they absolutely do. Yeah. And when we took a look at this category, one of the things that we had to try to figure out was locally owned versus local impact and versus whatever. And so we came out, I mean, obviously with the local impact, and then the I think it's a wonderful slate. And with Michigan Works Southeast, the number of different things and the quantity of humans that they are able to impact is just astronomical.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it is amazing. I think there was a story that we were talking about yesterday. It's in the magazine as well, where they help continuing education. So if you have fallen out of getting your high school diploma and your GED kind of candidate, and you need to finish, and those sorts of like continuing training and education programs.
Right.
In the last year, there's been about 70 people. So, I mean, last night we had about 200 people in our room, probably 210 with staff. And so that's a third of the room. Like, in a year, they're able to help make sure that they get that. What a lot of employers think is kind of like a baseline for employability. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it's just amazing the amount of impact. And then they have a ton of programs. And so there's no surprise, right?
Yeah.
When you think about it, like, they do all of these things, and they... it's just amazing the work that they do in the community.
And also, I mean, you really can't go wrong with Excel Staffing or US Staffing, because they both all three of them do a great job of getting people to where they need to be, which is working.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, absolutely. And I don't think you can go wrong. And depending on what you need, I think you're going to find that some staffing agencies, some employment agencies kind of specialize in one niche over another. And I mean, that can kind of help, but you literally cannot go wrong at all. And it's always so kind of bumming when you work with community partners throughout the years, and then they're up for like the best of, and then they come up to you after and they're like, oh man, we didn't get it. And I'm like, I know, I still love you. And so Jim Francis and I had that conversation.
He's a good dude.
Love
He's
him.
A good dude. All right.
Shout out.
Now, I know your winner for best pet groomer wasn't there last night. Do we want to spend time on this one?
Real briefly. So the best pet groomer, we had a Tails of Wagon, Canine to the Nines, and then Classy Canine Styles. Like you cannot, I mean, maybe your decision is based on geographics and where you are and like who
that's
you know
it,
and you know that kind of stuff. But the thing is, I have a short-haired dog that does not require grooming. So I think this was one of the... how to say that. So of all the categories, probably best steak was the one that got the most votes. And
We're getting there.
Yeah, we're getting there.
We're
Don't
getting
worry.
There. Yeah.
But best pet groomer, they had the fewest number of votes, because the way that the voting works is that you don't have to vote for every category. So if you don't use a credit union, realistically, you may not vote for the best credit union, because you don't have an informed opinion. So you're not required to vote for each category. So same thing with pet groomer. Someone like me, I didn't vote in that category. I don't have a choice. So they were the lowest number of like total votes, but they were so incredibly close.
Okay.
It was like a cliffhanger, like the last couple of days of voting and trying to figure it out. Like, I mean, amazing amazing organizations there across the board. But yes, unfortunately, Abby wasn't able to be there last night. Her team wasn't able to be there. But yeah, just, I mean, classy canine styles. They were the overall category winner.
All right. And we move on. And I'm turning the page.
Okay.
Where are we at? Best preschool.
Oh, yes. You can't go wrong with preschools.
Right. So that was, all right, go ahead.
Okay, so ABC Academy, Early Impressions Preschool, and then also the Head Start program with the Community Action Agency. Those were the three best of finalists. And then the overall best preschool winner was the Early Impressions Preschool and the child care centers. And there's such a vast network throughout the community, like the community of trying to come up school districts, that it's I can't be any surprise that, you know, they're able to bring folks out in force to kind of celebrate all of the great work that they do.
Right.
And I think it's so nice the way that they're able to kind of where they intertwine or they're interwoven. They're able to connect students at a really young age to the school districts that they're going to grow in.
Yeah.
Is kind of where I'm trying to say. I don't know what
that
word
sense.
Is. Yeah. So whatever that word is, I don't know. DM me if you know it. So like that's what we're trying to like kind of celebrate. And I really think that idea of kind of having that connection, it really latched on with a lot of the readership. And they're fabulous and they take wonderful care of the kids. And it's just, I mean, they're beautiful facilities as well. Right. It's just great.
So this next one. So I'm not, I eat steak. I like steak, but my preference would be to, but so I probably wouldn't have voted on this one. I wouldn't have. And it's not like I don't like steak. It's just my preference is somewhere else. But this, whenever you have a food category,
yes,
it explodes.
Oh, it does. And it's oftentimes the most voted on. And one of the things I love about food categories, by the way, regardless of whether or not you're a steak eater, unless you're a vegan or vegetarian, look at the photo from the Knight Steakhouse.
Oh, it looks so good.
It is not easy to take beautiful photography of steak or any food. Like food photography is classically the hardest type of thing to do.
They use glue for milk. Yeah.
I got nothing.
In this, a picture, yes.
This, so props to Erica on our team A for taking this photo. And
so
B, props to Knights for being able to have this level of presentation, like just for a photo shoot, you know, kind of thing. Like I'm sure somebody actually ate the steak, but it wasn't us, so I don't know. but it is just like, it's so scrumptious. Like it was like, oh, it deserves more than a page. Like it has a huge spread in there because it's such a beautiful representation of the sort of the sort of pride and the work that goes into their craft. And so the finalists were Ichiban Japanese Steakhouse, Knight Steakhouse, of course, and then also the Roadhouse Grill. And wonderful. I mean,
you can't go wrong.
You can't. But the very, very different presentation. You can go wrong if you're vegan. Don't know that you're eating those options. But if you are a meat eater, I know it was my dad's love language when I was a child. Like steak is just, it just is. So, I mean, you really can't go wrong. And one of the things that I also love about Knights is the way that the community, I think, rallied around the idea of like a sense of place about them.
That's,
and then,
and that's what Knights is in Jackson. It is not, you know, and not disparaging the other two here,
because
any place that you eat is a meeting place, but Knights is just, it's like one of those long time iconic places in Jackson.
Yep.
I use it as a landmark when I'm telling people how to get to our station.
Sure.
I start the conversation with, you know where Knights is?
Yep.
and the rest, I mean, it's just, it's that place. It's a landmark.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. And I remember it was one of the places when I first did an intern, it was my very first business lunch that I ever got the privilege to like be drug along to. Mm-hmm. I didn't get to say anything, but I got to eat wonderful food and I got to kind of listen to like the big kids talk and I just go like, oh. But I mean, it's just a wonderful, wonderful category. And to your point about food categories, we always try to make sure that we have one. Uh-huh. And what we find is that when people don't know of all of the top three, oftentimes, and we hope they do this before they go in and vote in that second round
they go try them.
Absolutely. And so we love that about the awards. So it's so great that those are able to happen.
Right. So when it comes to what's coming up,
yes,
with Jackson Magazine, what are some things on the horizon? Do we have voting for other things going on right now?
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
So there's not voting mm-hmm. in the sense of like you can actually, it's nominations.
Nominations.
Right now.
Okay.
Yeah. So nominations are open for the Impact Awards. If you haven't heard about the Impact Awards in December, so we're going to have seven different categories of community awards. About half of those awards are going to be picked by a selection committee. So you make a nomination, we'll contact the honoree and ask them, hey, do you want to move forward? Tell us about yourself. And then a selection committee is going to pick who those winners are going to be. And then for the other kind of half of the awards, what's going to happen is that the nominations are going to happen. Hey, tell us about yourself. Yes, I want to move forward. Here's the stuff. The selection committee is going to pick a slate of finalists. Mm-hmm. And then the community is going to vote on who those finalists are going to be. So right now we're accepting nominations for all of those.
Okay.
And so it's on our website, so jacksonmagazine.com. And we're really excited that we're going to be able to bring that in. So those nominations are going now through about June. Mm-hmm. And then the Healthcare Angels as well. Those are, it's kind of like the big one that we're taking nominations for.
That's a big, and now again, jacksonmagazine.com.
Yep.
If you want to get the virtual edition of, how do they pick up a copy?
So you can come to our office. So kind of fun story. So last night, graciously, we had to tell some of our sponsors, hey, sorry, you can't have some because we kind of ran out of magazines. So we, we really want to thank Emmons, Brooklyn, Plumbing and Heating, Home.fm, and then Eaton for kind of being super gracious about that. So there are a limited number of copies at our office for Best of Jackson.
Okay.
And then there were actual award winners that didn't get copies on the way out. Like we brought a copy a person out on site and they all went. And there were still folks there that were like, hey, I need some. So in any case, so we have... we will fix that for next year and have more. But there are some. And then these magazines drop in the inboxes today.
Okay.
So if you're on the standard mailing list, your copy is coming today, tomorrow, kind of level.
So they're a hot copy.
There it is. It is an extremely hot commodity. Yes, because we ran out last night.
I could probably let this go for like $20.
Well, the cover says $5. So anything else would be kind of dishonest. But it's really not meant. It's not meant for you. You didn't pay
copy.
For it.
I'm
you didn't
keep
pay
it here,
for it.
So
yeah.
I've got my copy and it stays right here. So, all right.
Yeah.
As always, Jenny, it's a pleasure. Thanks for being here.
Thank you guys so much.
This is AM Jackson on News Talk 970 AM, 101.5 FM.
I'm Mark Daly, and you're listening to the AM Jackson Podcast.
Back to AM Jackson on WKHM, Jackson's News Talk 970 AM and 101.5 FM.
At 9:36, and it's a pleasure to have back in the studio with us Kelly Bogue from the Community Hearing Cell. Good morning and welcome.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Good to have you back. So how things been? You guys been staying busy?
We have
just
been
around the corner? Yeah.
Yep. We've been doing really well and busy with work, busy with the kids, you know, as they get older and they get into more activities, you know, you're always managing all those different elements of things.
I know, right? Yeah, I know. It's crazy. So anyway, so what's new at Community Hearing Center?
So there are some new products out there. One that we have been really excited about came out about a month ago, and it brings together different technology that had not existed in this tiny of a form factor before.
Mm-hmm.
It's called the Zeal, and it is a really tiny in-the-ear hearing aid that also is rechargeable. It also is Bluetooth compatible with Android and iPhone, which is actually kind of a unique offering in the hearing aid industry.
Okay.
iPhone is kind of the easier of the Bluetooth compatibility setups, but
this
has both.
Yeah.
It even has tinnitus therapy in it. So we help a lot of folks that have, you know, ringing, buzzing, chirping, different kinds of noises that they perceive in their ears or their head. So all of those in this tiny form factor for people who are more concerned about something that is a discrete option.
Okay.
And or even just, you know, maybe they wear glasses or they have other elements where they're like, I don't necessarily want something that goes behind my ear. So it's a very cool offering that fits a wide range of hearing losses.
Okay. And it goes in.
It does. It goes in the ear.
Yeah.
And there's a little antenna that kind of curls along. We call it the bowl of the concha to help keep it in place.
Uh-huh.
So it is a super discreet hearing aid. I was wearing it 2 weeks ago. My oldest was taking ice skating lessons at Optimist. And I thought, I'm going to wear this in the arena. I have a little bit of hearing loss and some tinnitus. And I was like, we'll see how it is, because that's quite echoey, all kinds of people talking.
Oh, right. Yeah.
People are, you know, kids are yelling because there's a couple different classes running in tandem there.
Those are situations that still drive me crazy.
Yes, I did so well. Yeah. And I was like, really? Definitely like the joke that I make for people about like kind of eavesdropping on conversations. I was hearing all these conversations around me and then I was streaming music at the same time. And I was like, this is super cool. I was very impressed with it. So I'm always trying out new technology. And I was like, I'm impressed at how well I'm doing in a very acoustically challenging environment.
Right. Now, it's Bluetooth. Does that mean you can just control it with your phone? Does it connect to multiple devices? What's the advantage with having it Bluetooth connected?
Yeah, so you can connect to a variety of things. So yes, your phone can be used as like a remote control, which is a really nice feature. Mm-hmm. But you can have streaming, which, you know, you can have streaming for phone calls, meaning that the phone will directly connect to the hearing aids like earbuds.
Gotcha.
You can connect to tablets, to computers, different types of microphone systems like a companion mic. So if somebody has a loved one that, you know, they want to wear this microphone or maybe put something on a tabletop to pull in conversations for meetings, it greatly improves what we call the signal to noise ratio. So it means we want to be able to improve the signal, which is generally speech, the primary thing that you want to hear, and suppress the background noise. And being able to utilize those in tandem with hearing aids is a game changer, especially for people that have very diminished speech understanding.
Right. Well, and that's a part of it. When you have hearing loss, is that one of the first things that you notice, or what's?
Absolutely. Okay. Usually that's kind of the first indication for people. They'll say, I'm not hearing in restaurants. You know, I'm not hearing when the television's on, I'm listening to my spouse or my family or, you know, family gatherings. When we start to notice difficulty in background noise, that's kind of like, maybe something's going on there.
Yeah. Well, I feel like I've been there for a hot minute. I've been evaluated before.
Right. Yep.
When someone's experiencing that, do you notice that it's usually them saying, hey, I can't hear things, I'm going to get myself evaluated? Or is it like a spouse saying, dude, get in there, go see Kelly.
It's a combo, right?
Okay, great. All right.
So definitely there's sometimes, you know, family members that are urging a loved one or friend to, you know, get in and get things evaluated.
Right.
A lot of times, if people are being honest, they will acknowledge it themselves too. Like, hey, I'm having difficulty in these situations. And sometimes it'll be a frustration where maybe they've had an evaluation and somebody has said, well, your hearing is normal, or it's essentially normal, but they haven't had a test where speech in background noise has actually been assessed.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, only about 25% of practices across the country do that test.
Okay.
We do. And that's huge, because it actually says, this is what is actually representative of how your real life is going. How do you do if you can't see somebody's face? You know, if you don't have lip reading cues, if you don't have context, if there's background noise, those are generally elements of the environments where we're struggling in. Mm-hmm. When we test with that actual situation, each ear independently, and then how does your brain do when it receives input from both ears? That gives us a better idea of how you're doing in real life. And people who have maybe not a ton of hearing loss in terms of the tones can still have difficulty with speech understanding and still benefit from low-level amplification with some extra suppression for noise.
Okay, yeah, it's like when all those different signals are coming in.
Yes.
It just gets lost in the mix sometimes.
And even low levels of hearing loss, if you're not hearing at a level that you should be, you're in a state of what we call auditory deprivation, that correlates with increases in speech distortion. The brain is not able to process speech like it should be. So when we give your brain access to that sound again via amplification, that in and of itself can help improve speech clarity, which we will see improvements.
Wait, are you talking about hearing speech clarity or actually speaking clearly?
Well, I mean, if you're not hearing your own voice, certainly there's an element of that, but literally, your ability to understand speech clearly is directly affected by bringing back that sound when the brain is stimulated, right? So if your brain is not hearing those sounds, we give you back that access without doing anything else. That can improve your ability to understand speech. The other piece that we also recommend is thinking about auditory training. And a lot of folks have never heard of this. Auditory training, I frequently give the analogy, it's like physical therapy for the brain, for the auditory cortex. So hearing aids are the hardware. Auditory training is using the auditory input the best that you can. So there are training exercises that you can do to help improve your ability to understand fast rates of speech, processing with background noise, filling in contextual cues. And we've got different programs that we recommend for folks. There are some that have been around for over 40 years. They have tons of research that support them. And we see for people who complete, one in particular is called LACE AI, after the first training month, which for most people, you know, It's going to take about a month to, you know, kind of knock out like a 10-hour training program. About a 25% improvement in speech understanding with noise. That is a huge improvement.
Right. Well, I guess I've always been under the impression that kind of like once you've started losing the hearing, unless you're adding something to it, you're not going to get that back. But you're kind of telling me here with some physical therapy, it sounds like it's more training of the brain than it is actually of the ear.
Absolutely, training for the brain. Okay. Right. So you need to be able to have access to the sound. But like for people who maybe have, let's say you have very slight hearing loss, you're not necessarily feeling like you're ready for a hearing aid. Auditory training can help improve your speech understanding even before you're ready for devices. But using them in conjunction with hearing aids, cochlear implants, really greatly improves success rates.
So does that happen at community hearing center? Does that happen with themselves in a, with a laptop in front of them?
Yeah. Okay. And a lot of people, it's, you know, it's more flexible to have something that you can do at home, like via an app, right? Or on the computer. But we've got training programs that we can do with you. You can do things without technology. Cool. You can do things with technology. And they're they're very friendly to be able to utilize.
Let's go back to the hearing evaluations. If someone's curious, they want to learn more about this, and what it just go through what that process is like a little bit. Just kind of nutshell for us what a hearing evaluation is like at the Community Hearing Center. Kelly Bogue.
First thing that we are wanting to do is a history so that we can have an idea of all the different elements that play a role with your hearing, because hearing is multifactorial. A lot of times people think, well, I'm going to have hearing loss as I get older. It's not so much a function of age. It's an accumulation of experience, right? The longer that you've been around, the more likely you are to have had various noise exposures, whether it was work or hobbies or military. You also maybe have had changes to, you know, your underlying health, right? Something that changes the vascular system, blood flow, diabetes, for instance, that can change and can cause hearing loss. Maybe you've had a history of ear infections. Maybe you're somebody who's been a diver, or you've done a lot of flying. You've had changes to that middle ear system. You know, underlying health changes where you're taking certain medications can cause changes to your hearing.
Yeah.
Cancer. I mean, so many things where like there are medications that can correlate with hearing loss. So we do a deep dive into these different elements of history, because if there's something also that has maybe not been further evaluated, we'll, you know, advocate for you to talk to other medical professionals that would be, you know, the right professional to assess those elements. You know, people don't always realize that that's the case. So we go into your history, then we're going to take a look in your ears, make sure everything looks clear. You know, if we need to take out earwax, that's something that we can do for you. We're going to do a test of the middle ear, which is basically the mechanical transfer of energy into the ear. So we're looking at how does the eardrum move? How do the bones in the middle ear space move? Is there anything that could be worsening it, like a hole in the eardrum, fluid behind the eardrum, a disarticulation of the bones? And then when we're done with that assessment, we're also looking into moving into the booth, where we're going to see what is your hearing acuity. So the part you kind of traditionally think of as, you know, you're hearing a tone, you're responding to the tone at the softest level. If you have tinnitus, we're going to use a different type of tone to help you differentiate. So we're going to use a warbly tone. We're going to do some speech understanding testing, so with and without background noise present. And we're going to do a test called bone conduction, because we want to see if there is something going on in the middle ear. Let's say it's fluid. Your inner ear might be perfectly normal, but that transfer into the inner ear is blocked because of that fluid, for instance. When we test the bone, we're sending that sound directly through the bones in the skull into the inner ear.
Okay.
And we can see the difference. And so that difference shows us, okay, hey, something is happening that is artificially worsening your hearing that might be able to be medically resolved. So we want to see the entire system and then look at how is that impacting you and your quality of life? You know, how is the speech understanding or the ability to hear those sounds impacting your communication with your loved ones or your job or whatever? We go over those test results. We talk about recommendations, and we're never a pressury place. We're going to give you the facts, you know, when you come in for that diagnostic test. And then if you're like, hey, this is cool, you know, I want to start keeping tabs on this.
Yeah.
We'll start, you know, saying, let's get you back in. If hearing looks normal, ideally within 3 to 5 years, once you have hearing loss present, depending on if there's any kind of abnormalities, we might want to do annual reevaluations, but usually we don't want to go more than 3 years between, because you probably have had a change in your hearing in that time period. And if you're using technology, we want to update that. Because everything is digital, we can say, hey, if you've had a change in your hearing, let's get you back in. Let's update your hearing aids so that they reflect where your thresholds are now. And you're going to make sure that you do the best you can. We want to maximize the technology for as long as you can.
How well does insurance work with what you do?
Most insurances cover a hearing test annually.
Okay.
Yep. So, and we work with most insurances. So we would say you can, you know, stop in, or you can call us if you would like to have us check your insurance. Friday mornings, we offer a walk-in clinic from 9 to noon. So that is an open clinic. If somebody wants to come in, we can check your ears. We can take wax out. Patients that have hearing aids, if they need to have quick adjustments, they need maybe they got a new phone and want us to help them hook up their Bluetooth.
Gotcha.
Our goal is you never have to wait longer than a week, you know, to be able to get in and get help. And when they're open, we have Hinkley's. So we always have donuts. So, you know, if you're hanging around waiting, you've got a nice little treat.
Those are becoming like a hot commodity lately.
They are.
All right. You mentioned bone conduction. And I know bone conduction headphones have been out for at least a couple decades, but they seem to have gained in popularity the last couple, 3 years. Mm-hmm. Are those safer? Are they different? Because, you know, somebody like me who wears headphones a lot, I got to keep an eye on the volume.
Right.
When you don't have it cupped over the ear and it's kind of off to the side, is that supposed to be safer for your hearing, or do you have different things you have to look out for?
So it's not so much, I would say, a safety element. I mean, yes, there's not something directly in your ear, so there is that piece of it. But for a lot of people, they don't like the feeling of something in their ear. Right.
Okay.
So if you have something that's a bone conduction headphone, you still have the open ear. So, you know, potentially you're hearing a little bit more of the sound around you.
Right.
But usually it's a comfort thing. I think most people will say to me, I do not like the feeling of earbuds. Right. They don't feel great in my ear. They don't stay in.
Yes. They always fall out.
Yes.
I don't know if I've got a weird shaped ear or what, but they never stay on in my head.
That's actually one of the things that we can also do is we can make custom tips for earbuds.
Oh,
so it makes them vastly more comfortable.
Yeah.
My husband wears earbuds all the time, and we've been working on creating something for him because he's like, this is a night and day improvement over, you know, the comfort of the tip that it comes with, but also the sound quality. He's like, when I'm listening to music or whatever, it gives us so much more natural bass, those low frequencies, because we're holding more sound into the ear.
Okay.
It can be a game changer to have something that fits custom. And along the same lines with hearing protection.
Right.
You know, if you are somebody who is routinely around loud noise, we want to protect your ears. That's one of the only things that we can do to mitigate hearing loss for the future.
With the bone conduction headphones, though, if you're listening at an elevated level, is that still bad for you?
Yes.
Or is it okay?
Yeah.
Because why is that? Because I'm thinking it's not traditional ear. It's kind of going.
It's still sending that signal into the inner ear, though, right?
Okay.
So like the processing in the inner ear is still going to be the same. It's just not taking the ordinary pathway to get to the inner ear.
Okay.
But yeah, but the damage definitely is still going to be something you want to be concerned about.
So don't listen to it too loud.
Right.
Gotcha.
Be aware of your volume. Be aware of the time that you're listening to it as well. So, you know, if you're listening at a loud volume, the duration that you can listen to it for is going to be shorter, right? Because you have to think about that, the two factors that play.
Right. Well, we have things over our ears more so than we ever have before. I mean, there's more people working at home.
Right.
There's more people doing stuff on their laptops when they're getting coffee or eating a Hinkley's or whatever.
Right.
Yeah, that's the space we live in now. That's the world we live in now.
It is.
And are we seeing more hearing loss as a result of that? Or
we are. And I mean, I'm trying to remember, I don't remember what year it came out. There was an updated kind of analysis of percentages of hearing loss for people throughout lifespan. And they were looking at kids graduating from high school. And at this point, which I want to say was about 10-ish years ago, about 13% of kids graduating from high school had a hearing loss.
Oh, wow.
So it was markedly up from where it had been in the past.
Because you think of that as older, not younger.
Right.
Wow.
Again, because you've been around more, right?
Right.
But when you think about prevalence of headphones, earbuds, something that people are using more routinely and probably not always aware of the fact that at those higher levels, you're going to be causing damage, especially if you're listening to it for long periods of time. Even folks that use them when they're like mowing, right? It might not be kids per se, but like I've had a lot of people that say, oh yeah, I put my headphones on when I'm mowing, but they're cranking it up and
so
maybe there's no noise reduction in there. So
no kidding. Like,
you have to be aware of that because now you're kind of doing double duty, right? You've got noise from the headphones and you've got noise from the mower.
How does noise reduction work? Is it just another noise countering out another noise? How does that work?
There are multiple types. It depends on how sophisticated the processing is for that. I mean, the ideal is what's called phase cancellation. So we're looking at the signal and trying to apply the inverse of that signal to cancel it out.
Okay.
That's a super sophisticated methodology. And it's not great across all types of frequencies. So usually it's a combination. If you have something that is literally physically blocking the ear. So if you have like an over-the-ear type of muff, it's called a circumoral muff, using that in conjunction with some amount of phase cancellation, and then sometimes adding in like a white noise kind of piece too. Usually it's multifactorial and high-end, you know, hearing protection.
How long have we had different types of noises? Because it was always white noise, you know, or the fan on in the background. You got white noise, you got pink noise, you've got green noise, you've got
Brownian noise, red noise, speech noise. I mean, there's tons.
I mean, is there really a difference to kinds of noises, or is it just fancy noises?
There is a difference. You know, I would say a lot of them are going to have to most people, kind of a static sound to them.
Right.
But it comes down to the shaping for them. And so if you have particularly like tinnitus, a lot of times if you are using something that has a match to your tinnitus, you're going to try to match the shape to it.
Okay.
If you're wanting something more broad, Brownian noise is a nice one. It's like rainfall. So a lot of people kind of click with that.
Now, is there a problem if you're depending on that to go to sleep because you're trying to block out either the ringing in your ears or other noises around you? If you do that for extended periods of time or if you do that repeatedly, is there issues in the long run for that or no?
I think it depends on, obviously the level that you're listening to it at. Of course, you could have potentially some dependence on it where maybe you're having difficulty falling asleep without it. There was some research that was looking at babies where they were being exposed to white noise and potentially changes negatively in their brains from having that exposure. Huh. But I think, it's mixed in terms of the research on that. So I'd say it's more safe levels. And then if somebody is using something to help them fall asleep, maybe setting a timer for it. Certainly, if you have tinnitus or something that's preventing you from falling asleep, you're better off using it and actually getting the sleep. Right. Because if you're exhausted, that's just going to perpetuate that cycle.
Well, it's just getting asleep. Once you get to sleep, it'll be easier to kind of go back.
Right.
All right. Gotcha. Yeah. All right. Anything left untouched? Kelly Bogue from Community Hearing Center. We covered a lot today.
We have. There's always good stuff to talk about. So,
how do people get a hold of you?
They can call us at 517-888-5055, or they can find us online at communityhearingcenter.com, and they can also come to our walk-in clinic. We are located at 2027 4th Street in Jackson.
All right. Good seeing you again. Thanks
you
for being
too.
Here.
Thank you.
This is AM Jackson on News Talk 970 AM 101.5. Looking to grow your...
This has been the AM Jackson podcast. Tune in live weekday mornings from 6 until 10 at News Talk 970 AM, 101.5 FM, and online at WKHM.com.